Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
And welcome again to another episode of Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery, grateful that you can join us this May 10th, 2018. Boy, isn't time going. Glad to be back with you. We were out traveling, and we were grateful to have our trusty friend and co-host, Pastor Ricky Waller, to sit in for us and did a great job. We appreciate him. I'm sure he'll be on with us later on this evening. But most importantly, those of you that have followed us via Facebook, on the blog talk radio platform, podcast platform, or just by your calling in, we appreciate you. We're grateful that you've been a part of a national dialogue, which is sponsored by Building Families and Communities Institute, which is a nonprofit organization primarily, and the Institute is the educational research arm of that nonprofit organization. Yours truly started back in 1998, and the research arm was started in 2005. But we're grateful that you are participating with us tonight. I want to encourage you to be a part of our live dialogue. If you're watching via Facebook, please know that you're welcome to just listen if you'd like to. Also participate and call us at 657-383-0944, and you can join us here. If you're listening for the first time, I'm share with you the format for the show. Typically, we provide a monologue. We provide a monologue to give us some context for our discussion tonight. Tonight's topic may be a bit sensitive to some in nature, but I speak from real experience, and I pray that we'll be able to get you to understand. I've had many people ask me, why is it that it seems like you're always talking about people that are struggling, that have problems, that have issues? Well, that's who I'm convinced that the God of the universe has ordained or sent me to speak to specifically, not to exclude anyone else, but specifically that's my task. That's my calling, and we aim to help uplift and to improve the quality of life for dysfunctional individuals, and so they can find success. And we have discovered where those people are, hence our focus with our lecture series on urban American issues, and specifically that subgroup of African American males within that, and particularly those who are troubled the most. All right, having said all of that, again, the number is 657-383-0944. We welcome you to call. raise your questions or offer your comments. All we ask is that you keep it relevant to the topic as much as reasonable, and that we show respect and deference to all of our callers. As I've said many times before, I don't necessarily expect you to agree with me. However, we do respect one another in our opinion. Perhaps at the end of the day, we can all learn something from one another, okay? And that's the aim. So having said that, I'm going to go ahead and get into our monologue. And again, I hope you join us. Give us about maybe 10 minutes here or so, and we'll open up the phone lines right here at Talk Straight. Talk Straight. Often when the conversation about success is held, somehow the focus is on talking or taking a chance, I should say, okay, gambling. And that is the chance that one might reach a desired end. The supposition or the underthought is that I can't, there's no guarantee. I may not make it. I may not be successful. The reality is success is the product of deliberate actions on part of an individual or a group of individuals that are geared toward meeting a certain end. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Our topic for tonight, success is not a gamble. Plan your work and work your plan, and you'll be successful. All right. That's what we're going to talk about tonight on Talk Straight. And with that, we go right into our monologue. The writer in Proverbs, the 22nd chapter, and the 27th through the 29th verses, records these words. If thou hast nothing to pay, why should he take away thy bed from under thee? Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. Just for a second, let me put a pin right there. Remove not the ancient landmark. I ask myself, what is that ancient landmark? And that is the deliberate actions and focus of individuals to make something happen for themselves. Be busy about taking care of your business so that you can meet your success. All right? Now, what I want to do is define a few terms as we go through the conversation for the next hour and a half. And then I want to share with you some common ways that... Now, let me just say this now. I'm speaking from not just what I heard or read, but what I've been through in terms of the urban American experience. When I talk about some conditions and some ideas and some mindsets, that is what I'm talking about, okay? And I understand that I grew up in the hood and in challenging socioeconomic circumstances, as many others have, okay? And what happens often is that there has been a developed tendency to make excuses for failure and to run when you're afraid of the challenge that may lead to success. Oftentimes, it's just about changing what you do and following through on what you say. Even with our faith practice and our religious identification and social orientation, it's interesting to me, the last 22 and some years as a pastor, how many good people that mean well, they profess a faith, but they don't even follow through 100% on what they say they believe God has for them. How can you be successful if you don't do that? Well, that's what we're going to talk about tonight. So I'm not disparaging anyone. This is not a put down, because if it is, I'm talking about myself. All right, that's what I'm talking about us now. And what I hear oftentimes is that's just how we do. That's how we get down. Well, perhaps, hopefully after tonight, you'll understand the need to understand that if you're going to be successful, it's not about you taking a gamble or a chance. All right, let's get to it. Let's define first what success is. It is a favorable or desired outcome. The attainment of wealth, right? Favor or eminence or presence, respect from others. Success, that's what success is. You're successful at something when you reach a certain desired outcome. Now, what's the difference in that in a gamble? Well, when you gamble, you play a game, huh? With the chance that you might win something of value. But it's no guarantee. Take a bet, right? Put yourself out there. You be a little risky. You understand what I'm saying? And your actions sometimes can leave you in peril. You understand what I'm saying? Because you're hoping that you might, it's a chance you might get some good. You might be successful. We're not sure, but we're going to do it anyway, even though we may put ourselves in jeopardy. In other words, you got something in your hand. You're willing to take the risk or the gamble to open your hand and lose that with no guarantees. Now, when we talk about success, it involves concept we know as planning. What is planning, Dr. Ben? Well, who plans? We didn't plan for that. We didn't plan to make those babies. We didn't plan to have a family. We didn't plan to go that direction. It just happened, and we're just dealing with it, you understand? Well, planning is the process of making plans for something, taking the time to lay it out, to say, I want to do such and such, so I'm going to do the other to get there. Right? Sometimes in urban areas, it's the control of the development by government or people of influence. That involves planning, too. Your life. All right? Now, in order to be successful, one must be consistent or have consistency. It is the conformity in the application of something. In other words, you've got to discipline yourself to stick with what you start and what you say you're going to do. You've got to do it. No excuses. Typically, that which is necessary in logic and accuracy to reach fairness, you stick with it and you follow through so that you can be accurate and get the same result all the time. You can have a fair and balanced approach to this thing. You don't have to shoot from the hip, as they say. You understand what I'm saying? All right. With that, you can have what's known as outcome measures. Outcome measures. So we started with success, right? We parlayed that to gambling. Now we're talking about outcome measures. What is that, Doctor? They are, or an outcome measure, I should say, is the result of a test, an assessment that you make. And it is used to objectively, not gamble and take a chance, but to look at it from a focused and deliberate way to determine what is the baseline function of the thing that you laid out to do for yourself and the steps, the processes. How did those things come together and how well did you successfully meet your aim? Now, during my doctoral studies as a social scientist, I have spent a lot of time to try to understand what are the social control mechanisms that cause good people, like folk I know, not to be successful. Is it a black or white thing? Is it a male-female thing? Nah, it isn't. Success is available to every and anybody who choose to make it for themselves. All right, consider this. Now, when we look at the whole picture and we examine those people who are successful versus those who are not successful at anything that they say they want or they start to do, experience has proven that the simplest method of gaining control of people is to keep them undisciplined and ignorant about basic system principles or orders on one hand, while keeping them confused, disorganized, and distracted with matters of no real importance to anything or anybody on the other hand. Can you see what's happening now? Now how you do that, doctor? How's that done? Well, let me tell you. A few minutes, let me just explain to you how that's happening. Here's how that's achieved. Number one, the disengaging of their minds, okay, from what's real or what's important, sabotaging their mental activities, providing low-quality programming for them. When you sit your children in front of the TV 8, 12, 16 hours a day, and you let that be their primary source of instruction, providing low-quality of instruction for them. Are you walking with me now? Okay. And even in the public education setting, having a poor or substandard education explains why so many of our babies go 12 years in public school, and when they graduate, they walk across the state. Many of them, sadly, still can't read or write. They require remedial instruction before they move on to the major subject or content areas on the collegiate level, right? Because somebody failed to provide them focused instruction in things like mathematics, logic, systems designs, and economics, or they've been discouraged from the engagement in technological creativity. Mind's been robbed. All right? Second way is achieved. Engage in their emotions. It's amazing to me how today in this temperament of the society, everybody's on some sort of emotional trip or a whim or kick. Right? There's all kinds of affrontations and attacks. In other words, this is what I call mental emotional rape. You're always mad about something. Somebody's done something to peeve you off. Okay? How is this achieved? Well, by way of constant barrage of things dealing with sex, violence, fighting, or war in the media. Does that sound familiar in 2018? Especially TV and newspaper, YouTube and Facebook and Instagram and Snapchat. There's always some coming at you 24 hours a day, keeping your mind floating in the air where you can't even think and focus on what's important. Folk can't even work at work. They so busy on them devices and what have you. Good people now. Don't get me wrong. Good people. But we got a problem, right? Okay. Now, three things I want to talk to you about this emotional rape. Unrelenting emotional frontation and these attacks in the media. Giving them what they desire in access. In other words, it makes me feel good right now. I don't have to wait and have instant. I want instant gratification, not delayed reward. Okay? Junk food for thought, foolishness, and depriving them of what they really need, and that's to sit down, be focused, and disciplined. One of the primary prerequisites to being able to read at an early age, see, you learn to read from 0 to 3, and then you read to learn from that point on. But one of the prerequisites is that children have to learn to be disciplined enough to sit still. How's that done? You sit there with them, parent, and you spend 5 to 10 minutes reading to them, developing their language skills, and getting them in the practice of being disciplined to focus on reading and hearing and phonic awareness and things of that nature. All right? But when your children are everywhere doing everything and all kind of thoughts and ideas are in their mind, they're all over the place. Are y'all walking with me? Okay, junk food for thought. Rewriting history. I keep hearing people say, I ain't want to think about that. That's over with. Well, if you don't know your history, I heard somebody say you're doomed to repeat it. In other words, you change what's real about who you are and from whence you come, so you have no basis of knowing where you're going. Lie to them about the law and subjecting them, these people, to deviant ideas. Always want to party and have fun. Want to get down. Want to do something that's on the edge of not right. Cause them to be able to shift their thinking from personal needs to highly fabricated outside priorities, things that don't really matter. Now, the general rule is that there is profit. Did I say profit? Profit, making money. Somebody making money when you're confused. And the more confusion, the more money somebody can make off of you because you are a mental slave. Therefore, the best approach to create or keep them like this is to always create a problem for them and cause them to act in a way that create more problems for them from their risky behavior. And then you come in and make money off of them by saying, I got your solution. Are y'all walking with me tonight? I'm about to open the phone now. Just a second. Let me just review right quickly those things, those processes of distraction that we need to be cognizant of. Good people mean well. And you say, I did the best I could. I raised them. I tried to teach them values. But these are subconscious things that cause young people and old people alike to go astray. All right? The media. Keep the adult public attention diverted away from the real social issues. What are those? Establishing and maintaining healthy family values. Teaching children to develop strong, proactive character and extending that into society as a whole. Okay? As opposed to trying to run around and keep up with everything and everybody else, what the Joneses are doing on what you see on TV or hear on radio. Be yourself and work towards something. Let's talk about the role of the schools. Keep young people ignorant of real uses and applications of things like mathematics, real economics, law, and history. I never will forget, I was teaching in public schools on the high school level, and a young man did not want to pay attention to what I had to say, and we were dealing with social studies, and we were talking about economics. And I related to the fact that when you sell drugs, that's a form of trying to find some sort of economic means. And I asked him, if you were in Egypt right now, a 15-year-old boy your age, what do you think he would be doing to make his money? I don't know. I don't care. I said, do you know who the ancient Egyptians were? No. I said, look at these pictures. Who they look like? Man, somebody laughed. He's black as you are. You understand what I'm saying? It was not until he saw how he identified and there was some relationship to who he was that he even had an interest in learning about that. All right, I think you get the gist of it. Entertainment. Keep the public entertainment below the sixth grade level. There's no need for logical processing or reason beyond a sixth grade level. About a 12 or 13 year old. And that's where many people, good people, find themselves socially, emotionally functioning. Because that's the garbage that's fed to many people via the media and entertainment. Work is another factor. When you provide them work, keep them busy, 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 working for somebody else. So guess what? When you're always doing that, you don't have time to be an entrepreneur and to do for yourself. You're too busy what? Making somebody else money. Are y'all with me? Put them back on the farm to work just like animals. Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't work a job. Heaven knows I did for 20-plus years myself, working for somebody else. But at some point, I told myself, Doctor, if you can do it for them, I know you can do it for you. Come on now. I wish I had a witness. Now, I'm almost there. I'm about to open up the phone lines. But before I do that, the late, great Bobby Womack had a powerful song. He was talking about this young brother called Harry and his old lady. Listen to what he said. Listen to what he said just for a second.
Everybody claims that they want the best things out of life. But not everyone, wanna go to the tallest ride. Like this particular fella walks around all day long singing, shine. Thank you. happy. Life will sleep in the shade. Life don't bug him, cause he thinks he's got it made. He never worried about nothing in particular. Ooh, he might even sell free breath on sunset. I'd like to help a man when he's down, but I can't help him much when he's sleeping on the ground.
Sorry, Eric.
He's like a bottle of water. There ain't just flow through life. Walked around all day long singing the song.
Lady, y'all.
She's had his lady. Fernando Finney, just to feed Harry's baby.
What?
She can light on the story.
Incredible.
So incredible. Man, you want to help her take the food off and put it on the table.
Yeah. Let me stop right there. I'm feeling my help now. Listen, listen, listen. Y'all listen to Talk Straight. We're talking from the topic, success, not a gamble. Plan your work and work your plan. And guess what? When you get through, you'll be somewhere. You'll have something for yourself. This is your host, Reverend Dockery. Give us a call here, 657-383-0944. 657-383-0944. Thank you, Facebook, Brother Moore, and Rayma, and Professor Robinson. Thank you all for joining us on Facebook. Give us a call here. Get in where you fit in. Pastor Waller, what do you say about it, man? You there, Pastor?
Yes. Hey, Pastor.
All right, how you doing, man? What do you say about it?
Good, excuse me. Huh?
What do you say about
brother?
It? Man, we're holding the rope.
Yes, we got to keep doing that. Yes, that's the way you do it, brother. I know you know exactly what to do. Welcome back, man. I know you've been doing a lot of things on that road, and you've been graced with the favor of God to get back. And so we just thank you that you're back, man.
Thank you for holding the house down, and we appreciate you. And look at guess who we got here? We got Brother Outcast too, man. What do you say, Outcast?
I'm
right.
Good. Boiling pot. Boiling.
Yes, sir. Outcast, Harry's old lady, man, will make you feel so bad you want to go and lay the spread yourself for her. Ain't that something?
Yes. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Is it a gamble to being successful, or was I wrong? Y'all correct me. Now, get me straight, man. I don't want to do wrong.
Okay, get you straight on what everything you stated was totally true. You know,
right,
even down
so.
To the negative business of the media and things in that nature. You know, those people have been disenfranchised and robbed, and I mean
wow.
Robbed. Why? Wow. Because we sit back and let them rob us. I really enjoyed your comment concerning education and the whole nine yards. A lot, and it is true. You do have a lot of people that are reading on a sixth grade level. I believe the newspaper is written on a sixth grade level. Oh,
it is. Sixth to eighth grade.
You know, because
yes,
this is what they want them. Yeah, a sixth to eighth grade level.
Right.
And I hope.
No. Don't you hold now. Don't you go nowhere now. Pastor, what about that, man?
Man, a sixth grade level, man. I mean, I think he's hitting pretty hard, you know, but at the same time, I know that it's still a gift somewhere in
uh-oh.
That particular grade level.
Yeah.
And that's
I heard y'all talk about that the other night,
to...
man.
Hey, Outcast was stirring up, man, you know. And so I still
yeah,
have to remember
yeah,
that.
Hey, Pastor, I said these brothers going to fool around and solve all the world problems if they don't be careful.
That's right. That's right,
that's
man.
Hey, we just got Professor Robinson to join us. Welcome, sir. How are you doing this evening?
I am doing great. Absolutely excellent. How are you?
Mighty fine. I'm still fat and ugly, Professor. But guess what? I can't get over it, so I'm going to just accept it.
We are where we want to be.
Listen, I appreciate you guys for holding up the conversation the other day. What about that, Professor? Is there a gamble to our success? And if so, what's the point of putting work in if there's no guarantee that you'll get an in?
Well, I'm going to touch on a part of the conversation we had on Tuesday as it relates to the words that we use and how powerful those words can be. And so one of the things that we talked about was that everybody, these folks who are doing whatever, they are successful every day.
Yeah.
And so if we help them to understand that and approach them from a different perspective and context, but help them to understand how to shift the energy, the focus, they're going to do work. They're going to work. They're going to work hard.
Yes,
but where are they pointed? What direction are they pointing in? But help them to understand that they are successful. And you know, they might choose different pathways, but they're getting stuff done. And so if we focus on the definition of success, which is to accomplish something, they're accomplishing something.
They might not lead
to the positive outcomes that we're looking for, that we would love to see. But let's start there and help them to shift their focus slightly.
I'm gonna get in Pastor Wallace's world right now for a second. You know, we probably all can relate to going outside any given day and seeing brothers standing on the basketball court with this little round thing in their hand. Some of them can spin it on their finger. Some of them can throw it up in the air, spin around their back. They can dribble. They can dunk it. You understand? They can bust threes on you from way behind 3-point line. Is that right, Pastor Wallace?
If they
didn't have no necessarily professional team they were part of, they can do that naturally, and they practice that every day.
Practicing.
And the ones you didn't find doing that, they had another oval type thing that they throw with one hand. You understand what I'm saying? And they're able to throw that thing and somebody take it and run from one end to another. And those that didn't do that, they had a little stick and they were swinging at another little round ball. You understand what I'm saying? They practice this every day. Watch this. I'm gonna tell on myself, Outcast. You can't tell nobody I told you this, Outcast. But I was at a certain point in my life, I practiced the skill and the art of going into somebody's business and coming out there without paying a dime for their product.
That's right.
You were successful.
I was, hey man. Look, I ain't got caught yet.
Right.
I ain't got caught yet. I stopped doing it now, Outcast. I don't do it now. I pay for everything.
What you call smart.
I mean,
you know, now I'm going to go back to the professor. The professor said, where is the power? So what you was doing was smart.
It was successful.
I don't know about smart.
But it was successful, though.
Well, you know, jail, too.
To professor's point, though, it was if I had perfected enough to where I can go in and come out without having to deal with being taken to the police station for shoplifting. That was a crime.
Right.
Forgive me, society. Forgive me, gentlemen on the panel. Forgive me, Lord, for the crime I committed. I have sinned. Are y'all walking with me?
Yes, sir.
But
you're right here.
One point back I want to emphasize is in the monologue, I read the text from Proverbs. This stuck with me right here. 22 and 28 said, remove not the ancient landmark. And really when you exegete that text or you break it down, what you'll find out is the ancient landmark was the discipline and order of working towards something in order for you to be successful. That's what he's talking about. Your forefathers said that. Now, here's the problem, gentlemen. Too many young people don't have a forefather or a three-father or a two-father or one father in their life. So they don't get that lesson.
Yeah.
Is that a problem with success? Somebody talk to me about it.
You didn't move it, you let it lay. Yeah, not move it, it means to let it lay. It sounds like to me.
Right. Speak into your phone, Pastor.
Yeah, I said, Pastor, when you got it like that, you said to remove not, that means to let it lay, leave it to be.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, things like, you know, it reminds me, you know, of the hope that it still remains. You know, once a person gets to the other side,
mm-hmm.
and you have a steadfast, just let it lay. Could you imagine that type of change? That's what I'm looking at. Because if a person say, don't move it, that means leave it as it is.
Mm.
You know, and if I'm leaving it as it is, I don't want to make no mistake about this. I want to think about what it would be like if a person gets free.
Wow.
And remain to be free. That's what I like to be able to see, you know. And I'm believing that that's the hope. You know, when we say faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So if we can get to that point, or when we get to that point, and settle, and you know, we play the game, you know, coming up, and talking about let it lay, just the mention of that, let it lay. In other words, leave it like that. Keep that foundation. You know, and
right.
this is something that I think is available today. I believe it's available today, according to the scripture that you and I use so much about John 8:32. And you should know the truth and the truth shall make you free. What about
right.
seeing that, not removing that, because now we're free. Need
right.
it like that. Be free, rooted, grounded, things like that, man. So it's tough. I just wanted to share that right there because I can't see myself being in that bondage and staying that way for the big racing. My goodness, man.
I get you.
So what does that
I get
mean? So talk to me. Tell me what that means, man, when you say that remove not.
Well, and as you pointed out, it is encouraging or admonishing one to be consistent, to be unmovable
yeah.
in that way. You understand what I'm saying? But that requires
right.
discipline. That requires discipline.
Yeah.
And one of the things, Al-Kaz, I noticed about my people, now, these my folk, I can talk about them, Professor, because they my folk. But one of the things I've learned about my people is the last thing too many of us want to do is to discipline ourselves. Because when you're disciplined, you can't be all over the place. Huh? You know what the excuse
right.
is, don't you? You know that's just how we do, man. And these people trying to stop us from doing our thing. What's your thing? Huh?
If
your thing is
counterproductive,
go ahead, Professor. I'm sorry.
Oh no, sorry. First, I want to say address something that Outcast said when Pastor Doctor, you were talking about the thing that, and we said it wasn't smart, and I just wanted to I wanted to revisit it because the conversation that we had on Tuesday was about the fact that we're all smart.
Yes.
But it's not a matter of evaluating the person being smart. It's the thing that the person did.
Right.
If you follow what I'm saying, Outcast.
Yes.
It's not that the person
yes.
is dumb. It's they did something
right.
stupid. They did something dumb. They're not dumb.
Exactly.
They're very
exactly.
smart. And so I just wanted to address that because I didn't want there to be any contradiction to what I was saying
right.
before.
That
helps.
Your point is well taken. What you're saying, if I might further elaborate, is it takes logical processing even to do counterproductive, destructive things. So you're using cognitive ability, right? And,
oh, yeah.
and basically your psychomotor skills are at work even when you're doing something illegal or wrong or detrimental. When you take a bottle and you drink too much alcohol or you hit that gun, y'all, or you put that stuff up your arm, guess what? It takes skills to do that. And some people have perfected that well. You understand? So it's just a destructive thing that you have learned.
Wow.
You've disciplined yourself to do over and over again. If you can do that, then we got a basis for turning you around to do something else. What are you going to say, Al-Kaz?
No, nothing. I was just still tuned in to the professor until you cut in, but you know, I'm listening, and I do agree with what he stated. But the thing is, it is being smart, being street smart. You know, being able to maneuver around to where that someone else can't maneuver around in certain positions. But I don't take away the fact that it's illegal and it's wrong, and in the end, you need to change your habit.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All
right, hold on 1 second. It's interesting you say that. I was talking to a young brother, and we're talking about a particular topic, and really him engaging himself in a way that he will be successful at what he said he wanted to do. Well, when I began to offer him the suggestion of the need for him to cut certain activities out so he can manage his time better toward what he wanted, he gave me a million different excuses as to why and how that wouldn't work. And I asked him simply, Professor, how do you know that? You've never tried. I know what you're used to, what you're accustomed to, but you have convinced yourself that you'll never be able to do anything new because you've made an excuse for why not trying it. Go ahead, Professor. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. I wanted to say, you know, we are disciplined. And I want to go back to your point, and I go back to, you know, and you said it, to you're going to expend energy, cognitive energy, that will lead to some negative outcomes. And
yes,
that requires discipline.
It does. It does.
It requires discipline to do things that lead to negative outcomes. It requires discipline to do things that lead to positive outcomes.
Right.
And so, but we have to understand that they are disciplined. We are disciplined. We have the tools. We need to point them in another direction. It's a different conversation. It's a very, very different conversation. I'm not going to stand on the street corner when it's 20 degrees or when it's zero. I'm not going to do that. That requires discipline.
It does. That's right, especially when you expect to get an outcome from that.
Sure, you know, yes.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. The interesting thing is, one of the motivations for this particular topic is that, you know, I was talking to some grown people, gentlemen. I said grown, right? And by that, I mean chronologically grown. They're well over 21 years old, some of them in their 50s and 60s. And the substance of their comment or their conversation was, you know, you can try hard, but they not going to let you do this. And you just taking a chance. Every day in life, you're just taking a chance, trying to do the best we can. And I asked them, I said, is it not possible for you to start and plan something and work all the way to the end and know that you can get there? Well, God knows, Pastor Wallace, the gentleman said. The Lord only knows what's going to happen. Talk to me about that.
Yeah.
Talk to me about
that. Well, I like to say something about, and that's where the experiences come in at, that, and I heard Professor talking about what he wasn't going to do, and I like that, at least he admitted that what he's not going to do, but there are some people, man, that's out there in the street.
Oh,
let
yeah.
me tell you, man, no different what the wind is blowing through when they're out there camping like that, man.
Hey.
Yeah, they're out there doing it, man. Winter, spring, summer, fall.
Man.
That lets you know right there. It's good that Professor never experienced that, so he really don't have no evidence of what it would be like. Somebody might ride through there and say, what is that fool standing out there doing? Man, I tell you, it's amazing. Some are doing it, man. I mean, I've had the police officer to ask the guy, say, well, why are you standing out here so tall? He said, well, what's wrong with it? He said, what's wrong with it? That's what he asked the question. What's wrong with it? They asked him because they think there's something wrong with him standing out there like that, cold as it was. And the man asked the question to the police officer, what's wrong with you? And I was like, that's amazing, man. When they're out there caught up like that, a person really is not thinking about how cold it is, just thinking about their next fix. And those are the people that have gifts underneath. And this person, believe me, this person I'm talking about right now, I've seen him in action since I've been over there in the ministry, Pastor Doctor. You know how when we're over there, so I get a chance to see a lot more than I used to see. Man, there's a guy, he would clean up. He know how to clean up the yard. I mean, even though he's out there captured, he would walk, I'm telling you, all over the community, man, and clean it up, even on the lot and everything. And he said, go check it out. And if you see any paper on that, he said, come and let me know. I said, man, that's amazing. But he had that gift. And
well,
just
now,
think, man, to see him turn around and to be on that solid ground and you know, but to be right there where he is now continually, I just don't see that. I see him being free from that, but yet still using his gift.
All right. Let me make a station announcement break here. You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Rion tonight. Our co-host, Pastor Waller and Brother Outcast and Professor Robson is joining us. Feel free to join us yourself, 657-383-0944. Facebook, thank you, Rhema. Brother Stephan, thank you, sir, for joining us tonight. Appreciate all of you all and those of you that are listening as well via Facebook or watching our live stream. Some of you who are just kind of laying low and keeping, I hope my ugly face ain't hurting your ass too bad, but that's all right. You'll get over it. Don't worry about it. But we appreciate you guys tonight. And I want to ask this question to you all then, since y'all are going. I did get a chance to hear much of the Tuesday night show. And great conversation. And y'all were talking about a gift and talent, unrealized. And I like what Professor Robson, his premise. And I gathered that what he was saying is that no matter what you do, there's going to be some level of motivation to do it. And as long as you stay on the course, you'll be successful in the end. Did I understand that correctly? And I know I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but I understand the gist of what you were saying, Professor.
It's that every individual
uh-huh.
Succeeds every single day.
Right.
And
right, okay.
if we start with that premise, with that foundation, and help people to connect their skills that they have, because we spend a lot of time and money. If you go to an average bookstore, you go to the self-help section, you're going to find all these different books that are telling you how to set goals, how to create a vision board, how to create a plan. And these, everybody already, we do that every single day. We already do
right.
these things.
Right.
They're not skills that you have. We've already developed those skills. And so the point is, how do we change our filters and what we focus on?
Sure.
And instead of focusing on the things that you can't do or what we say that you can't do,
right.
Let's focus on the things that you are, the skill sets that you have. Here's a great example, and I know people say that I'm this straight-laced individual, but I've done things in the past.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you right now. I will probably become a drug dealer sometime in the near future.
Help him, Holy Ghost.
But if you think about it, some of these folks that are out on the street, I'm just gonna pick on the drug dealers right now. I'm just gonna pick on them. But some of them that are out on the street, I tell them, go to Vegas, go to California, where you won't go to jail. Okay, where it's legal. Set up a. It's the same thing with prohibition.
No,
it's not the sanctuary part. It's marijuana is legal. So marijuana is legal. Go sell it there.
Yeah.
Where you will be recognized as a successful business person who's a positive contributor to the community. And the only difference is you're doing it in Denver, Colorado versus doing it in Nashville, Tennessee.
Can I tell you something, though, Professor? I don't mean to cut you off. But you know what the problem is there, don't you? The problem is that their efficacy is to be, quote-unquote, successful right there on the block where they are, not in Vegas. Because, see, their family is not in Vegas. Their familiar environment is not there. In their mind, I want to have what I'm used to and have what I say I want without any sacrifice or stepping outside of that box. And that's the part where the gambling comes in. You engage in certain behaviors with the risk of not being successful at what you say you started out from the beginning, you know? And so to your point, what people have to understand is success requires you to make a sacrifice. It requires you to be uncomfortable. And perhaps you're going to have to lose a little bit when you open your hand to get something. Does that make sense to y'all? Now, I did have a question for you, Professor, because you came right down the block I wanted you to come on. Now you're on my block now, see.
Okay.
And I wanted to ask you, and Outkast, you think about this too. Hey, Annette, thank you for joining us here on Facebook. How does one's social orientation, good or bad, affect their outcomes in life? Explain it to me like I'm 3 years old. Maybe you can, if you will, tell me what your impression of your social orientation is when you respond to that.
Well, I'm going to use a different term, and I'm going to steal your term. That goes back to your, I'm on your block. I'm on your block. And I'm going to go back to, and I used this last, on Tuesday, your example about the seed that you planted.
Yes. Yes, sir.
And so for me, that wall determines your social upbringing, your nurturing, the things that you're exposed to, the main factors that impact your development.
Right.
And so using the example that you used where they're the same exact seeds, one is planted on the right, one's on the left, but there's a wall that separates the two. And one is getting all of this positive nurturing and being, you know, developed in a way that says you're going to be great. You have the skills. We'll get you what you need. We'll get you the water, the sunlight, and so on. And on the other side, it's, well, you don't deserve anything. This is what or you deserve less.
Okay.
And you become comfortable with less, and then you start to die away. And then we're saying, well, why are you wilting away? Well, let's tear down these walls. Let's, you know, reduce the wall so that you're getting the sunshine and the positive nurturing so that you can develop and you can grow and you can thrive just like the folks on the other side.
Let me ask you this now. So, okay, you said that real fancy life. Does that mean that, quote, white people, unquote, their circumstances and discipline and actions have to be different from yours for both of y'all?
This is not a black-white issue. In the United States of America, there's more of a racial component layer that's added onto a socioeconomic layer. But if you use this same model and apply it across the world, you'll find that, and most of it's a socioeconomic issue versus a race issue. But in certain countries, they add on this additional layer called race on top of the socioeconomic.
Absolutely. And Professor, I appreciate you saying that, because that's where I was going with my monologue. What happens is you start listening to what the media, what's the media's motive? To control you, to make money, to keep you not thinking about what's important, right? And so we throw up all these emotional issues or triggers that cause you to be unstable and unfocused on what's really important. Why do I care, Outkast, about a monkey swinging on a tree? What they got to do with me and what I got to do today? Don't the monkey have
monkey
a right to swing?
Oh, yeah, and the monkey might be getting more than you, or more than the rest of the people. Now, I like what the professor said. I've been wanting him to get to that point for a long time when it comes to economics and business.
Okay.
It's not
buried
on race. I like when he went to the other countries and things of that nature and brought that in. It's not a race issue.
No, it isn't.
I've been waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting, and he finally, thank you, professor.
We had to pull that out of
a long time. No, you brought it out of
race is a component. Don't want anybody. No, race is real. Racism is real.
Sure it is.
But there are other factors that come into play that we have direct control over. That, you know, we can't stop somebody from hating you. We can't.
No.
We can't stop you from hating another race, another religion, another way. We can't.
No, you
but
can't.
There are things that we control, that you control, that will lead to better outcomes in our communities. And somewhere down the road, it will actually start to chip away at some of those racist views. you know, on the improved outcomes that we accomplish.
Y'all on fire tonight.
You know, Professor, old folks used to say, when you spend 6 months tending to your own business and the other 6 months leaving other folk alone, you ain't got no time for no drama. So perhaps that is apropos to what we're talking about. When you're busy working your plan that you have established for yourself, well, where did I learn to start a plan from? When do I start my plan? And here's the thing. I'm going to say this about particularly African-American males, typically in the urban setting, and this is not everybody, but a good number of them. At an early age, there's a certain time I write in my workbook on fatherhood development that there's a critical age where you should begin to encourage and coach young boys into being responsible for certain behaviors and certain outcomes, right? Now, they're young and they don't know, so you have to be there present and you have to coach them through that process. But what I'm saying is by the time they reach the adult age or the common age, they're in a position to make good, rational decisions that will be productive for them throughout latency in life. But if you don't put nothing in, you can't expect to get nothing out, you know? And as long as somebody's feeding you and providing it for you, you never learn how to do it, get it for yourself. That's part of the problem with this dependency on public service and government support and things of that. It's necessary. Don't get me wrong now. I told y'all I'm a welfare baby. I grew up on food stamps. You understand? So don't nobody get it twisted that I'm trying to say there's something wrong with food stamps or you know, coming from the hood. That's me. But one thing I realize is that doesn't have to be your end. And I'm grateful that my children have learned not to make that their end. And you know, you understand what I'm saying. Y'all understand what I'm trying to say. So, Pastor Waller, we lost you there for a second. You back with us?
Yeah, man. I got off for a minute, and I saw a friend, man, and he was talking to me about some things, man. And while he's standing here, can he share something with you, brother, if it's all right?
Absolutely.
I'm standing on the street. I'm talking to all. And hot dog, look, man, you walked up and you said that you've been on a drug called what?
Heroin.
For how long?
48 years.
48 years. And this man here, and he said he read my book. Now, I'm standing on the street at this service. And you said you've been reading the book, right?
About how you quit, how you took you 20 years to get off of this stuff.
Yeah.
And if you can get off of this, I know I can. But it takes time. It takes strength. It takes the Lord.
My goodness.
And it takes yourself. And you got to be motivated. And you got to be motivated into our Lord Jesus Christ.
My goodness.
Because you need his help.
Man. So
man cannot help you. God can help you. Then you help yourself.
I'm going to let you say something to him. He said he's going to be on for 48 years now.
Yeah.
And he wanted to share that with me, man. So I just thought I'd let you know. That's why I had to get off the phone for a minute. And
all right, that's okay.
You know, I
want
to
ask the brother something. Is he still there?
Yeah, okay, here you go. Here you go. Yeah, here you go. He want to ask you something.
All right, brother, you mentioned 48 years. My question to you is, where do you see yourself in the next 10 years?
Well, in the next 10 years, I see myself helping the Lord.
What about you?
By him helping me, I'm going to help the kids. I want to be a motivation speaker to the kids. This is why I hang around to the center to talk to them about the education. And we got to talk about our culture, where we come from, who we are and everything. You know, the real deal. We are not from Africa. We are from Jerusalem. We got ran to Africa, you know. We are the true tribe. We are the Israelites, you know.
Okay.
And don't let anybody tell you we are.
You want to come in and ask him something else. You still here? Ask him something else that you need to ask him.
I hear that. We don't want to get off from our topic too much, but I appreciate you tuning in with us, my friend. And I do want to encourage you in this regard. And we're talking about success not being a gamble. Planning your work and working your plan. Whatever it is you see for yourself in 10 years, my hope for you is that 10 years later, a year from now, you'll find yourself on that path. And I want to encourage you to stay on that road. And Pastor Wallace is a good source. He's a good source to help you get there. We appreciate you tonight here.
Praise God. All right.
I just
wanted to make sure.
All right.
Okay, hot dog, back on here, man.
Hey.
Okay then. All right. Now, so if you're just tuning in, this is Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Doc Ray, and we're talking from the topic: success is not. I said, is not a gamble. You don't have to take a chance on it. If you plan your work and work your plan, you can be and you will be successful, whatever you're doing. Now, last question that I wanted to pose to Outkast there. You still there, Brother Outkast?
Oh, yes, I'm here. Yeah.
Is success different, Outkast, from one ethnic group, Hispanic, white, Asian, African-American, Afro-American, Negro-American, whatever you want to call it? Does that differ from ethnicity, success?
Again, race has nothing to do with it. When it comes to economics, business, marketing, and things in that nature, it depends on, going back to what you stated, how successful you want to be. And I go back to the professor. You need to get away from that black, white, blue, green thing and do your thing. See, this is what divides you. You begin to focus on what another race or nationality or men or women are doing. Focus on yourself. Focus on yourself. And then you're going to become successful. Again, it all goes back to the invisible hand. Now, like, as I stated, the professor brought it out. You know, he went worldwide with it. And it's not basically based on race. You know, it's based on how successful an individual want to be. This is my point of view. Even in my studies, this is what it states. And I'm and finally, the professor, thank you. And I'm a hoe. I hoe. And you want to disagree? Okay, that's fine with me.
All right. Question, comment there, Professor?
I'm gonna say I agree completely with Outkast. But I do want to do one thing, if I could. I want to go back to the gentleman that the pastor was talking to, and he mentioned some things, some aspirations, and I'm going to say something, and please don't take this the wrong way. He's probably not going to accomplish it, and let me explain why. And it's exactly what you said, Pastor Dockery, and he really doesn't have a plan. Okay. If you look at what he has, he has aspirations. He really doesn't have clearly established and defined goals. And so he's least likely to accomplish it.
Okay.
And, you know, one of the things I'll say, Pastor Wall, if you get in touch with him, I'd say, you know, if he's really serious about doing that, I suggest that he go to, you know, and get a mentor that's free, that will help him to, you know, put framework around that business idea and help him to get that business up and running and, you know, gain access to knowledge. And those are some of the things that more of us need to do. It's nice to have the aspiration, but at the end of the day, back to your point, you have to have that plan and you have to execute that plan. And I don't think that he... From what I heard, I didn't hear a clearly defined plan. And so I would say that whenever the opportunities present itself, and I don't know if this is one of the things, but I know at some point we had talked about chronicling some things, but, you know, we all pay taxes, and there's an organization called SCORE. They're retired executives. Go to them. They're free. They're going to help us. Let's get more black business owners or potential business owners to use this thing that we already paid for.
Right. You know, it's interesting you say that, Professor. I met last month with two key individuals with SCORE, and I shared with them my aspiration in the legislature to produce legislation that will support the establishing of 250 new business startups in Senate District 19. it was interesting to get the response I did from them. And that was simply a great idea, but guess what they were concerned about, Professor?
What
they were
that?
Concerned about the population that I identified having the wherewithal to not only establish a plan, but to stick to it, which is critical if you're going to be successful. You've got to, that's why I pointed out, discipline is paramount. You must learn, to even when things are not easy for you, you must have the self-discipline to stick to it and see it through. Sometimes we're not sure what the answer. Hold that thought, 1 second. I'll come right to you, Professor. Let me finish this last thought. What happens too often, though, is we confuse our faith with reality. Now, what I mean by that, don't lose your thought, Professor. What do I mean by confusing your faith with reality? Well, you believe that God is going to bless you and that God is going to see you through a given task or endeavor. He will. But guess what? God ain't going to do it for you. So you have got to be disciplined to not only develop your plan, but to carry it out with the faith that God is going to enable you to do so. Go ahead, Professor. I'm sorry.
No, I completely agree, but I want to add this one component that, and I'm going to use the gentleman that Pastor Wall was talking to. I'd have a conversation with him as a pastor, and you know, the next time I talk to you, I want to know what happened with that conversation that you had with the SCORE mentor.
Okay.
And so now it's a different conversation, but it's within the context of the things that you say you're going to do to help all of these people, and I want you to do that, and I know that these resources are here to help you, so now what's your excuse?
Yes.
If you
yes.
really want to do it, I'm going to help provide you access to the resources, and with your faith and with you doing something and going down a prescribed path, that, you know, we know leads to, is more likely to lead to success and increase your chances of success. I'm going to hold you accountable. We're going to talk about it as we talk about it within the larger context of how this is going to help you help a larger number of people and make this a better world.
Let me direct that to Pastor Waller. Pastor Waller, you still there?
Yes, sir.
If I had said to you that if someone said to you, that brother got Mac game, what are you talking about, Pastor Walker?
That brother that I just talked with, that he has Mac game?
No.
Okay.
In general.
In general.
If someone said to you, Dr. got Mac game, what are they saying?
That they got Mac game? I mean, they got street game to me. If they got Mac game,
they know
how
to talk
and get over. Yeah.
There you go.
Make it
there
sound
you
good,
go.
You know.
They just
like that.
They just like the character in Bobby Womack's song, Harry Hipper. He can run game on you in a second, man. He can pull and tug at your emotions. His old lady will make you want to lay the whole table out for him.
Yeah,
but what
exactly,
are they going to do
for
that?
Hey, young lady.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Yes, sir. And, you know, I was going to ask you a question concerning, you know, what the professor was talking about, because helping the multitude of people is a great thing.
I'm standing here in a home
going service, and I was on the outside on the call because I couldn't be in there. I wanted to be on the call. And this brother just happened to come by, and he just happened to know me from years ago, but that's how that came into play. He seemed and got pretty excited. He said, man, I just want you to know I read your book. He said, man, I know if you was able to get free, because, see, they used to get down with me back years ago. And he said, man, I've been on this stuff for 48 years, and he was sharing that, and I had to listen to him. So I had to get off the phone in order to do it. And then he come back and say, he said he had to be reading it because he knew I had been off of it for over 20 years, and so that was a plus to hear. Now, however, what I wanted to share about that is this, is that when a person, do anyone believe in a vision, first of all? Someone believe in a vision. Some people may not even believe in a vision, but when God give a person a vision, and he followed his vision, or if he wavered from the vision, he deviated from the vision, that means that he's doing his own thing. He's trusting in himself. He's leaning and depending upon himself. But if he followed the vision and walk in patience, as he walk in patience with expectation, then whether it's one or more, You know what I mean? You don't neglect the one because there's a multitude of people that you can save, that you can get free.
Okay.
And so that's what I had to deal with. And I would say it's a great thing. That is my strive. Is I have a vision to restore the whole community where I come from and do further more elsewhere. But it's not easy. And as I say, you know, this person who's in a trap, like most of them are, I don't think the guy wanted to stay in the trap. He's in the trap because he don't know how to get free, and that's what he explained to me. 48
right.
years, that means he's a grown individual, but yet still don't know how to make a grown man's decision. That means that the stuff has more power than he has, and that's what I realized at it. So it kind of helped me out to know the hurt, the pain
yeah.
that a lot of them are still in after all these years. So he has to be almost 70 years of age to be on it for 48 years. You know what I mean?
Let me ask Outkast this. Outkast.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
If a brother or sister come to you and say they want to do something, and they start giving you a whole lot of loose rhetoric and conversation here and there, is it wrong for you to stop them right then and bring them back to reality? Is anything wrong with that?
Well, me, I normally, I sit and I hear them out, and when they give me a chance to speak, this is when I speak. I speak in the pretense of the professor. You know, if I can't help them with a lot of things, I would send them other places to get them help. In order for you to lead as you know, you have to follow. You know, you would not get good instruction. It's just like being an apprentice. I'm going to go back to the professor on that. You know, I mean, you step over into something. You don't have a plan. You have good aspirations, but still, you have to be groomed. And I leveled it off like that. I didn't take what the professor stated that as being belligerent or nasty or ugly. What he was talking about was the man setting himself a foundation, getting around, getting counseling from people, learning, you know. As Reverend Wallace said, he's almost 70 years old, and I'm going to go back to what you stated. If you don't know your history, you're bound to repeat it. Now,
yes, sir.
You can holler Egypt, you can holler Egypt, you can holler anything you want. But I'm going to go back and I'm going to say this. Plymouth Rock fell on us.
Uh-oh.
A lot of us, blacks were already here before Columbus even got here. Africans have been in this country millions of years. You know, if you don't know your history, you're bound to repeat it. I am other Negroid race, even the Aborigines and things in that nature. You know, do DNA tests on them. Oh, your ancestry began here, right here in the United States of America, but you have been fooled to think that you were brought out of Africa.
Hey,
I think they do a lot more DNA tests.
Hey, Outkast,
yes,
you got your foot on my neck over on Dickinson Road in Nashville, Tennessee, what I care about what's going on in Africa right then?
Yeah, well, you got your foot on my neck. I'm going to figure a way to cut that foot off.
Well, I'm saying, if you got your foot on my neck on Dickinson Road in Nashville, Tennessee, what's going on in Africa got to do with me getting away from under your foot on Dickinson Road?
Hey, I'm worried
you
about
follow
Dickinson
my logic?
Road, not Africa.
You follow my logic?
Explain.
And well, give what happens me. Is, we have this aspiration, Professor, to want to identify with our ancient heritage and culture and things of that nature, and we fail to deal with the realities in front of us right at the moment.
Exactly.
It's good
I
at
agree.
Some point to learn that and to be adept in that, but right now you got to learn how to maintain yourself day by day where you are.
That's a good point right there,
Pastor. Never been there. Go ahead.
That's
go ahead.
A real good point right there. Now, that is a good point. You said something right there, Pastor Dockery, about the here and now, the right here and right now, meaning that at this moment is what counts.
Right.
You never know what's going to happen in the next minute. So this moment is what's going on, where you are right now. And I like that because that's the way that I got free. I had to deal with the here and now. That's the only way I was able to get free. Not tomorrow or next week or next month, it had to be the here and now. I think that's what you were saying.
Right now.
So that makes
Professor,
I'm going to say this. I'm going to turn it back over. Let me say this right here. You know, there's a word that says, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, that's how fast change can take place. That's how fast. I'm done
yes,
with
sir.
That, man. I'm done with
yes,
that.
Yes, sir. That's
yes,
bad.
Sir. Go ahead.
I like that. I like that. Go ahead, Professor.
A lot of the things are, I approach things as an educator, and also I am involved heavily in mentoring and coaching. And so, you know, to Todd's point, I work with small business owners. A couple of weeks ago, spearheaded an event where Home Shopping Network, we had 100-plus individuals. And I saw a gentleman, a 72-year-old black man from Memphis. And he traveled from Memphis to Nashville to pitch. He's retired military. He created this pin. And he got in front of the group and he pitched his pin to the top buyer, the decision maker at Home Shopping Network, because he wanted to get his pin, he wanted to get his business up and off the ground so that he could share that pin with other veterans. And this was a 72-year-old black man. And,
wow.
And so he made a decision. He said, this is what's important to me. And I'm going to do the things that are necessary in order to make it happen. He didn't have to travel from Memphis. He didn't. He could have found a bunch of reasons why. It actually
yes.
rained that day at some point. I think it might have snowed or there was a chance of snow or something.
Right.
And he came to Memphis. I mean, he left Memphis and came to Nashville.
Okay.
And so at the end of the day, you got to own it. You got to want it. But understand
Amen.
That we have the skills. Let's point them in another direction, but do it in a way that we're holding them accountable. And so that they can say all the platitudes and this and I'm from kings and queens and so on, but did you do this thing that you said you were going to do?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let me say this, Professor, to your point. I have a tendency, Outcast, to hear people and not only hear them, but hear them. And I think the undercurrent of what Professor's saying. When you listen to them closely enough, you'll realize they don't have a plan. And the best thing you can do is to help them stop wasting your and their time and accept mm-hmm. the reality. You don't have a plan, so you're going nowhere. You'll be spinning in circles 5 years from now.
That's right.
Because you lack, your conversation sounds good, and it may be even sexy, Pastor Walter. But guess what? You're not going nowhere. You ain't going nowhere. So
right.
we have to make sure that when we talk about encouraging people not to gamble with their lives and to get on a path to success, that you are adamant about having a plan, first of all. Without a lack of plan is a plan to fail. So, I mean, that's what we used to tell my son was in the scout and I was a scout leader, that's what we used to tell him, you know. If you fail to plan, that's your plan. You know, you don't have a plan, that's a plan for failure. Good recipe there. But
you're hitting hard right there, Pastor Doc. You're hitting hard right there, man.
Well, that's the truth. That's the
yeah,
truth. And guess what?
Right
guess what, Pastor?
Yeah, that's the truth, though.
Hey, Pastor.
Yes, sir.
It don't matter
uh-huh.
how good looking I am or how cool a guy I am, that's still the truth, ain't it?
That's still the truth, brother. It's still the truth, man. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Sometimes we want to make it seem like it's about how good you look or how popular you are. The world don't care about that, man. You got to get
sir,
in where you
brother.
Fit in.
Man,
you
saying
know?
Something right. When you said
yes,
you know, that was powerful and with an increase, man, because that is a plan to destroy.
Wow.
You know what I mean? And they're utilizing what it takes to do that.
Right.
And when you're not familiar with the plan, you allow the plan to continue.
Mm.
And that's the plan that's going on. And they have already prepared and planned it out, and it's working. So, you know, I'm understanding of that. And that's the reason why being in the midst of that, if the compassion is not there, you can't handle it. Because without compassion, as the word says, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Who's out there concerned about those hurting people who don't have the power to get out,
who's been there 48 years that don't really want to be there, but yet still people are free, refuse to go and extend a hand to them and meet them where they are. That's what the Lord would do. He would meet them right where they are and teach them how to get free. And that's what I discovered. You know what I mean? That plan of the enemy, man, he's making that plan effective, brother. My goodness. I'm even effective, but I feel effective. Working. So how are we going to break it? Got to get out there on the ground.
Go ahead.
Got to.
Pastor Dockery, I'm gonna be the disruptor that I love to be. And we
don't be yourself.
Think about the topic and think about what we've been stressing here, which is a plan.
Yes,
and
right.
I'm going to put this out on the table. What's our plan? Is there a plan for black people? What's your personal plan as it relates to what we're talking about? And so do we have a plan? We're saying that other people need to have one, and
right.
we have to lead by example. It's
absolutely.
The same thing with kids. If we're telling the kids that they have to have a plan and we don't, why are they going to listen to us?
Absolutely. And now, is that a rhetorical question, Professor?
No. That is rhetorical. That is a real question.
Okay.
Because if you look at, you know, and Pastor Wallace said that there's a plan for destruction. So somebody out there has a plan for destruction. Well, what's our plan to not be destroyed? And who's that being shared with, and who's leading that effort?
Yeah, to restore.
Well,
restore.
Well, I tell you what, I can only speak from what I know, and I know that for the last 20 years with BFC Missions Incorporated, my plan has been to improve the quality of life for dysfunctional families through education and referrals and support services. And so what I'm doing tonight is yet another extension of that. And my hope is in a little bit to be in a better position to broaden that from a legislative position. Now, I'm not sure who will benefit from it, but that's this platform and this talk show, that's its plan. That's its plan. And anybody who want to tap into that can benefit from it. That's our hope. That's our hope.
Yes,
I'm glad to have different people come on and share ideas, and I'm hoping those that listen now or later can gain something from it. And you talked about SCORE. We talked about different other resources over time. You know, we hope to bring in other people who have excellent models and ideas that people can act on. So that's a plan, at least anyway. I don't know if that answers your question.
Well, and I guess I want to elevate to a higher level beyond just the individual.
Because
as Pastor Wallace said, there's a plan for destruction.
Right.
So there's a plan to destroy, you know, the black community, the black family, you know. And
right.
So my question is, what's our bigger plan? Who's, you know, do we have a plan to stop the potential continued destruction?
Who is we?
At a level,
let me ask
where,
you that.
Well,
I better ask you who we is when you say do we. Who are you talking about exactly?
Well, that's a great question, because I'm assuming that if there's this plan for destruction, there's got to be a group behind that. And so I'm saying it's got to be a pretty powerful group. That's just how I logically think through things. So, do we have a group, and you know, let's call it the Legislative Black Caucus. I'm just going to make that up. I'm making that up. What's their plan? Have they shared a plan with us? Let's look at, you know, who we consider to be our civic leaders.
Okay,
is there
okay.
a plan? So let's say, I'm going to say the Black Caucus, our politicians. I'm going to leave it at that level for now.
Yeah. I don't know that there is a well-articulated one that everybody understands and embraces. So there's work to be done there. So that gives us something to work toward. That certainly gives us something to work toward. Hey, there you go. Man, look at the time. Five minutes left here. We've been talking from the topic, success is not a gamble. Plan your work and work your plan. Pastor Ricky Waller is on with us, our co-host. Professor Robertson has been gracious enough to join us, and my good friend from Nashville, Tennessee, a.k.a. Outcast, 1098. We appreciate him joining us here. Just your host, Reverend Dockery. As we wind down, gentlemen, I'm going to leave tonight with Isaac Hayes. And I'm not yet, we're not there yet. I want to get a final thought from you guys, but I'm going to leave tonight on Isaac Hayes. And you know what he said, Professor Robertson?
I'm listening.
You there, Professor?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. He said, you got to do your thing. That's what he said. You got to do your thing.
Oh, yeah.
Know what your thing is. Plan that thing and work that thing. Excuse my colloquial expression here tonight.
And I.
Final thought there, Outcast, as we work our way out of here.
Really enjoyed the program tonight. Very explosive. A lot of information was shared. I'm glad that Professor Robertson is, you know, coming out more, speaking, and therefore, you know, I mean, I'm just pleased tonight. I mean, really, I am. I really hope that a lot of other people would tune in, listen to the program. I will be getting on tomorrow. The program come on, but. The thing is this, I'm not worried about what the Black Caucus is doing. You know, I'll keep pushing forward, doing what I have to do, you know, for myself.
Okay.
And
I hope. Fair enough. All right, go ahead, Professor. Final thought there before we get out of here?
Biggest components in a plan, one of the biggest components in a plan is accountability and responsibility. And so, Outcast, I want to challenge you. I'm going to say, I do care what they're doing. And I say we need to get people in there that are doing the things that they have the power to do, that they've been elected to do, to improve outcomes. And I do care, and I do hold them accountable. I hold myself accountable. And so I say we do need a plan. And you know, let's demand something from them. They're in those roles, and that's what they're supposed to be doing.
I agree.
And if they're not doing it, let's put somebody else in there.
Uh-oh, I agree.
We have to have a plan also.
I love it.
I don't disagree.
All right. Pastor Waller, right quickly, I want to give a little bit of Isaac Hayes there, man. Go ahead, Pastor. Yeah. I thought there.
I want to thank everybody for what they had to share. But here you talk about the Word of God a lot, Pastor Dockery, from the start. You always utilize the Scriptures. So I want to make sure that I stand on that and present this to you if you don't mind. It says the Word of God says the preparation of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. And then it says, commit your ways, your works unto the Lord, and your thoughts shall be established. So if we put it in the Lord's hand, that's the best move out of every move that a person can make, according to what I've learned. So without him being in it, it's no good at all.
All right.
Yes, sir.
With that, time is getting away from us. We'll be back next Tuesday night, 7 o'clock p.m., for another episode of Talk Straight. As the case said it like this, we got to do our thing, but you need to know what your thing is in order for you to get it done. So let's do our thing. All right, look like that ain't going to work for us, but we're going to leave anyway on that thought. Appreciate you. This has been Talk Straight. We'll see you next Tuesday night at 7 o'clock p.m.
Praise God.
Feel your Holy Spirit. One more time. I'm going to start it for you. Come here, Teddy. I'm going to start this for you. And I mean, you better sing for me.